KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 23 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy and mild today with a high of 56. Southwesterly winds becoming northwesterly at 10 to 15 this afternoon. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen of the Check of Area and State News. Creston police, assisted by the Creston K-9 Baxo, today arrested 41-year-old Julianne Edsel of Creston. She was taken into custody around 3:12 a.m. in a residence in the 600 block of North Oak Street in Creston on charges that include possession of a controlled substance second offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving while suspended. Edsel was being held for the Creston police in the Adams County Jail on $2,600 bond. A traffic stop at around 5:45 p.m. Wednesday in Red Oak resulted in the arrest of a man from Council Bluffs. 48-year-old Joel John Pogge was taken into custody for driving while revoked. Pogge was being held in Montgomery County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Council Bluffs police Wednesday evening said 30-year-old Megan Michelle Bressman is currently wanted for her involvement in an attempted murder that occurred November 26th in Council Bluffs. Bressman, who is white, 5 feet 5 inches tall, weighs 170 pounds, has brown hair and green eyes, and may be in the company of another suspect in that incident, Benjamin Mainley. Both are considered armed and dangerous. You can see pictures of the suspects in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The incident they are suspected of involvement in happened outside of a gas station convenience store at 1305 North 25th Street in Council Bluffs. An adult female returning from the store was fired upon by a subject believed to be Mainley. She escaped, but her vehicle was struck by two rounds fired from the weapon. If you have any information about the location of Megan Bressman or Benjamin Mainley, call 911 immediately or Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867. Two firefighters suffered minor injuries when they fell through the floor into the basement of a home in Oakland on Tuesday. Fire Chief Brent Miller on the Oakland Fire and Rescue Facebook page said Oakland, Carson, and Hancock Fire Departments were arrested at approximately 9:40 p.m. Tuesday for a residential fire on Gates Street in Oakland. Crews encountered heavy fire at the rear of the residence upon their arrival. The fire on the exterior of the structure was knocked down, he said, and crews entered the residence to attack the fire on the inside. It was during this time that a portion of the floor collapsed and two firefighters went into a basement. Chief Miller says that a mayday was called and rescue for firefighters was initiated. They were fortunately able to rescue or self-rescue for the most part and were able to exit the structure. Both were transported to the hospital for evaluation and, as mentioned, suffered only minor injuries. The house, though, was a total loss. The cause of that fire was under investigation. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said a man from Nebraska, 24-year-old Jason Charles Brandt from Omaha, had been arrested Tuesday afternoon. Brandt was taken into custody on a warrant for violation of probation. He was booked into the Pott County Jail. The sheriff's official said also seven inmates being held in other jails were transported to the Pott County Jail on Tuesday and held for various warrants. You can see the list of those individuals in this same story also on our news page at KJAN.com. Well, Atlantic Police Chief Devin Hogue reports the Fireside Lounge raised more than $7,000 during their recent 9th annual Joe Dirt Memorial Fundraiser and Silent Auction. The funds will help to support the Atlantic Police Department's Christmas and various Cass County youth and family programs. Hogue said that 2020 put them, the Beyer family, in an odd predicament for their normal fundraising and left them without the ability to hold their annual pool tournament. They marched forward anyway and reached out to many great businesses, individuals, and groups in Cass County, asking them to help make their event a success. Despite the lackluster year that 2020 has been, Hogue said they were still able to raise $7,013.04, as well as a large box of new toys that will go towards our community programs. The Atlantic Police Department thanks the Beyer family and their whole crew who put forth so much time and effort to make this event a success each year. Now, on the Joe Dirt Memorial Facebook page, the Beyer said, with COVID-19, we were worried about how this year's auction might go, especially with the pool tournament postponed. We should have known you guys would make it happen. Thank you for another year to our amazing community, family, and friends. Elsewhere in the news, an 48-year-old Sioux City man is pleading guilty to embezzling at least $22,000 from the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. Jason Ehlers was general manager of Bluestone Homes, also known as Ho-Chunk Real Estate, which is owned by the tribe. He signed a plea agreement admitting he stole construction supplies, drew up fake invoices, engaged in fraudulent rebate schemes. Ehlers will be sentenced later. He could be fined up to $250,000 and sentenced up to 5 years in prison on that charge. Well, the U.S. House has approved a bill designed to adjust federal flood control regulations, something Southwest Iowans had sought after historic flood levels hit the region in 2019. Congresswoman Cindy Axne, a Democrat from Des Moines, is co-sponsor of the Water Resources Development Act. She says it addresses the plight of communities like Hamburg, which the Army Corps forced to remove reinforcements added to a levee in 2011, then Hamburg got swamped by floodwaters last year.
Nearly a decade ago, when Hamburg was told to either come up with $5.6 million or tear down a temporary levee that provided protection, you know, they had to tear it down. That type of language is not going to be in there anymore. We're going to make sure that reasonable things happen to keep them safe.
The bill directs the Army Corps of Engineers to complete its comprehensive study of the lower Missouri River Basin. Axne said the bill includes provisions addressing flooding concerns in eastern and central Iowa as well.
With increased adjustments for the federal cost share of inland waterways projects to develop some of the critical infrastructure that's needed on the Mississippi. We addressed issues in Des Moines with the Birdland levy.
And the bill would provide nearly $10 billion to the Army Corps of Engineers for 46 projects nationwide. It now goes to the full Senate. It's possible the measure may be added to larger spending package Congress must pass in order to keep the federal government operating. An administrative judge has approved a $76,000 penalty against an Iowa cattle feedlot for violating the Clean Water Act. The judge ruled that Tony and Joshua Brown, who operate Riverview Cattle in Armstrong, discharged pollutants from their cattle feedlot on 41 days into the East Fork of the Des Moines River. The Environmental Protection Agency said the business did not obtain federally required permit for the discharges. The cattle company contended the pollutants never reached the river. Administrative Judge Christine Donlan Coughlin agreed with the EPA and found the feedlot liable for Clean Water Act violations. 50 years ago this week, the groundbreaking work of a Northeast Iowa farmer was recognized on the global stage as Norman Borlaug was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Barbara Stinson, president of the World Food Prize Organization, or foundation that is, which Borlaug founded, said his research in plant genetics mobilized agricultural innovations in Mexico, India, and Pakistan over several decades, saving vast populations from starvation.
He's actually credited with having saved over a billion lives, more than anyone else in human history. And they didn't have an agricultural prize, so they awarded him the Peace Prize for his work in agriculture and reducing hunger, which brought much greater peace to the world, and then particularly in those areas.
Borlaug developed a variety of wheat that was high yield and disease resistant while devoting himself to agricultural development projects and the mobilization of food around the world. It earned him the nickname the Father of the Green Revolution.
The elements of this included bringing technology and improving water availability and getting technologies to farmers and advocating farming practices that really created what's called the Green Revolution.
Once facing widespread starvation, Mexico became a net exporter of wheat by 1963, thanks to Borlaug's work. Also, between 1965 and 1970, wheat yields nearly doubled in Pakistan and India, greatly improving the food security of those countries. In the mid-1980s, Borlaug pushed forward with an effort to establish a major prize for agriculture.
Dr. Borlaug founded the World Food Prize Foundation to honor those that are improving the world's food supply. But he was particularly interested in elevating these innovations to inspire other professionals and the younger generation.
The Des Moines-based foundation awards an annual prize which emphasizes the importance of a nutritious, sustainable food supply for everyone. The award ceremony coincides each year with an international symposium addressing issues related to hunger and food security. Borlaug received degrees in forestry, plant pathology, and genetics from the University of Minnesota, where an event is being held this week to mark the 50th anniversary of his winning the Nobel Prize. The event is called Nobel and Beyond, Building the Legacy of a Hunger Fighter.
They are convening a very special gathering of alums and students and professors and many dignitaries to talk about the accomplishments of Dr. Norman Borlaug, his inspiration to the rest of the world, and particularly his dedication to education and working with youth.
And again, that event takes place today. In addition to winning the Nobel Peace Prize, Borlaug was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal. He died in 2009 at the age of 95. Borlaug's farm near Cresco is now a protected preserve that is open for tours. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.